Christine's grandparents at their Morro Bay were kind of famous for hospitality too, and you remind me of that story about them when you gave your story. But her grandfather, step-grandfather Cecil, with all the company there, he had the strategy of, as soon as the first person yawned, he'd go get in bed. If they're going to stay the night, he wanted to make sure he had his bed. So the first yawn, that was his signal to to go get in bed. Or you can do like I do. We have a guest preacher. You know, they always want to know how long they can preach. You tell them, just, hey, you can preach as long as you want to, but we leave it on Sunday night at 7. You know, just lock up when you're finished. Hospitality, and that's what the lesson is this evening. I'm starting to count these lessons up. This is number 18 in the series. When I first put all these words together, getting them from the concordance, I thought my intent was, I probably even said that, I just kind of give a little blurb on each one and put two or three together, and this series would probably, you know, last just a couple months. But then I kind of got started on a few of the one another verses and gave a whole lesson on that single subject, and that's kind of what this one is tonight. So if you have the notes, you can see hospitality, dictionary definition. Usually I use a couple dictionaries. I use Vine's dictionary, expository dictionary of New Testament words. I'll use Webster's also. I'll also use a thesaurus and get all the synonyms that I can find just to get a kind of a hold on what the word is meaning or trying to give to us. Obviously, you know, it means to receive as a guest, if you're hospitable, to entertain. Not entertain like you do a song and dance, but the idea is you host, you show a kindness or a courtesy. Also, and I put in your notes the where our word hospice comes from. If you provide a hospice situation, you're providing a shelter. You provide supportive care for the terminally ill. So you are showing hospitality. The word hospital, an institution for providing care for the medically ill. So when you show hospitality, it covers a little more than just having folks over for a meal. And obviously the word hostile, not hostile, but hostile, you know, an inn or a place to stop when you're traveling. So all of these words, and you know, give us that, encompass that definition, that broad spectrum of the idea of hospitality. And it's asking us to consider the needs of one another. Now you put in your notes, and render aid. And a couple of songs in the book, and I like the words of the songs, but hymn number 709, song that we sing, just want to read the words to kind of catch the flavor of the lesson this evening. The first stanza, number 709. How sweet and how heavenly. So put those words together, describing our hospitality. How sweet and how heavenly is the sight when those that love the Lord in one another's peace delight and so fulfill the word. Second stanza. When each can feel his brother's sigh, and with him bear a part of that. When sorrow flows from eye to eye, and joy from heart to heart. When, free from envy, scorn, and pride, our wishes all above, each can his brother's failings hide, and show a brother's love. When love in one delightful stream through every bosom flows, when union sweet and dear esteem in every action glows. Love is the golden chain that binds the happy souls above, and he's an heir of heaven who finds his bosom glow with love. Then 711, blessed be the tie that binds. We sing this song also. 711. So when there's a blessing or blessed. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one. Our comforts and our cares. I'm talking about the congregation. All of us together. The song is reflecting this attitude that of hospitality, of entertainment, of hosting, that should permeate our fellowship. Third stanza. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. So, the idea of the lesson this evening. Just a couple of verses. I put four of them in your notes from hospitality. Verse 1 in 1 Peter chapter 4. Pick up the text in verse 8. 1 Peter 4, beginning of verse 8. It says, above all things. I like the way he gives a phrase like, above all things. Now, that includes a lot. But more than just the normal things of life. Above all things. Being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sins, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received a gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So I put four things associated with hospitality just in this verse. When you find the phrase using hospitality one to another in the context or that chunk of text, the verse before and the verse after, give us these four things. It says, be fervent in your love, be fervent in love among yourselves. So love for one another is displayed in our hospitality. When we shelter another, we're showing love for one another. When we receive another, when we care for another, all those definitions of hospitality, when we exhibit that or display that in our actions, we are showing fervent, we are being fervent in our love among ourselves. Interesting phrase, he does say love covers a multitude of sins. And I think it means that we're going to reach out for another. We reach out to brethren in error. Some of the commentators have said, this means to just kind of forget or overlook another's imperfections or flaws or sins. But it says sins. And so there's too many other verses that takes in. No, we don't want to overlook or just disregard the faults or the sins of someone else. But how does love cover a multitude of sins? Well, putting your nose, Proverbs mentions hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. But still doesn't say how it does that. How can love cover sins? James gives the answer. In James 5, verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth. Err from the truth or sins? Love needs to cover that. What does love do? And one convert him, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide or cover a multitude of sins. So what Peter doesn't give us the how of love covers the multitude of sins, James does. But so when we are fervent in love for one another, we want to be hospitable and shelter and care, but one way to do that is to reach out and restore them to fellowship with God and ourselves. Love does that. Then hospitality extends the care. We don't just bring them back and say, I got it done, finished. No, hospitality carries through. Second, without grudging. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Your nasty attitude in loving and caring is not gracious. Just not gracious. You know, if I see a couple kids, might be, when I was younger, might be my brother and myself, we were arguing over a toy or whatever it would be, and mom might come out, especially if I cried the loudest. Mom's going to come out and say, what's wrong? And I'm going to explain it to her before my brother Rod does. And she may say, okay, Rod, give Brian the toy. You think he hands it to me gently? No, he's going to use hospitality, but he's going to do it grudgingly. My heart's not in it. I don't love doing this, but I'll give it to you. Oh, yeah. Kind of like when I reach out for it, he drops it. Oh. Or he throws it at you. You're sure, I'll give it to you. Here you go. Use hospitality without grudging. So our Christian disposition, our character, our attitude, our desire, our outlook, our mood is to put our heart into our task of loving and caring for one another. Use hospitality without grudging. Third characteristic, according as each has received a gift. Dennis just mentioned that about he and Susan. Dennis says, I don't have the gift. In his story, you know, he's ready to send the people home. But according as each has the gift, whatever talent, whatever wealth or ability that we have, it's God-given. It has to be used to minister the same one to another. That's in the verse, 1 Peter chapter 4. In Colossians 2, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, says, for if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has, and not according to what he has not. So we need to, what we do in our service, in our ministry, is according to our own ability, according to the opportunity that's placed in front of us. You may be able to do more than I can, but as long as we're doing it. And as good stewards, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, I put the wrong, no, there it is. I mean, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. So when it comes to hospitality, we want to be reliable, dependable. We want to be one that can be counted upon, duty-filled out of our love for one another. Use hospitality one to another. The second verse in Romans 12, verse 6, it begins in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. And then in verse 13, in that long list of gifts, it says given to hospitality. So we've all been given gifts, talents, abilities. And Paul lists these examples. Hospitality is there. And some of us, we just said in the previous note or the section, some of us have been given the ability to be hospitable more than others by either ability or opportunity. But we just want to be sure that we are hospitable. And that's what this lesson is designed for this evening. You do what you can according to the measure that's been given to you. Galatians 6:10, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. The third verse that I've used for the lesson, obviously qualifications for elders, 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, one is given to hospitality. It has to be evident in them especially. But when he mentions to Titus, he mentions be a lover of hospitality. So not only is our hospitality to be done without murmuring, or it's not to be done grudgingly, we need to love to care for someone else. We love to shelter another. We need to love to be able to provide for someone else. You know, and I always feel pretty good when I think, okay, I have the ability, I have the means. But if someone comes along right now, we are able to help. I'm going to keep my eyes open for an opportunity. I'm in a situation right now where I can help. So I'm going to look. There we are. And that's what it means, given to hospitality. Be on the lookout for those times. The last one I have listed for you is Hebrews chapter 13, beginning of verse 1. Very familiar verse. It says, first, it begins by saying, I quoted the verse in your notes. Let brotherly love continue. Forget not to entertain. Oh, there's our word. Our hospitality word. Forget not to entertain strangers or to show love to strangers. For thereby have some entertained angels unawares. Love and entertain equal hospitality in the verse. And let brotherly love continue. That's not a one-time action. It doesn't stop. It doesn't say, okay, I've given you this and that, and so I've completed my task. Don't call me again. No, you think about your physical family. You are doing it right. We don't withhold love from a brother. Brother, physical families. Bali's moving because of family. I've made trips because of family. Look what you do because of a brother. 1 John 2, verse 11. He that hates his brother is in darkness. But this text has to do with strangers, doesn't it? And brothers and strangers. Let brotherly love continue. But look at what we can do for just someone that may come our way. This would be illustrated in the parable of the Samaritan. You know, Luke chapter 10. And I just quoted the closing verses of the story. You're familiar with it. So Jesus finally, asked the ruler to come to him and said, who's my neighbor? And he said, now which of these three thinkest thou, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? He said, it's interesting, I always point this out when I read this story. He didn't say the priest or the Levite. He's a Samaritan. They don't get along together, priests and Levites and Samaritans. So look how he said, answered Jesus' question. Now, Jesus told the story, a priest and a Levite. He said, he that showed mercy on him. He wasn't about to say priest or Levite. he that showed mercy. But then Jesus said to him, go and do thou likewise. So that's a lesson. We don't have a lot of strangers that come in with huge needs in our lives. But I don't know how often that Samaritan helped folks. But there was this time that he met this guy or saw this guy on the side of the road. Instead of going by, he stopped and really sheltered him, took care of him. And even when he left, he said to the innkeeper, when I come back, if you've given out any more, I'll gladly repay that too. You can't do that every day. You'll be the one in need. But certainly there'll be a time in your life and mine when we may have to give more than expected. And we do that. So in closing, I just kind of put, we need to be ready to be hospitable, be watchful for opportunities too, and then do it without murmuring. Develop a love for hospitality. That's the lesson this evening. Only two, I think maybe two more lessons in this One Another series. 2 weeks from tonight, going through these in chronological order through the New Testament. In James chapter 4, speak not against one another. And then James chapter 5 says, don't grudge one another. I almost wanted to skip that one. I don't begrudge one another. Wait a minute. You're getting along better than I am. I'm kind of grudging sometimes. So that'll be for me. You have to show up that night. I'll just kind of give a blessing to me. I probably need it. So in our lessons tonight, be hospitable. Look out for one another. And that's kind of the watchword. I know there's none here this evening that are not members of the New Testament church, but we always sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. At the close of that song, you may just want to say, brethren, I need some prayers for strength or help or encouragement or something's going on in my life. Please add my name to your prayer list and be hospitable in doing that. So let's sing this song that Dennis has selected for us. Let's stand if you would or are able to.